Moncrief on News Talk.
Time for So You Think You're an Adult. Emma Nolan and Declan Buckley are with us in the studio to solve all your problems. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
This is the first one is kind of love across the divide. I'm a farmer's daughter from the Midlands and recently went on a first date with a very posh South Dublin man who seems to have been engineered in a Donnybrook laboratory. Just to preface, he seems to be a lovely lad. He brought me to a steakhouse. I didn't see the bill, but I imagine the dinner cost nearly €400 for two people. That narrows down where he brought her, actually, in my mind. I would have offered to pay half, but my card honestly might have bounced. While on the date, I felt like I was in a real-life version of Ross or Carol Kelly. I told him I love red wine, to which he replied, "Oh, same. Every Christmas, me and the boys do a thing called steaks and red. They all come to my house with steaks and red wine." Later in the night, that doesn't sound that bougie, really. Later in the night, we went out. He went out of his way to tell me that he had to wait a couple of months for his car to come in, a Range Rover. When we spoke about sports, specifically GAA, he said, "I never did that." The fact that he may never have stepped foot in a GAA pitch or even watched a game sort of gives me the ick. I'm already imagining the chaos. If he was ever to meet my family, my brothers would roast him alive for being a walking cliche. My house would need to be deep cleaned within an inch of its life. And my dad would probably ask him if the Range Rover has a hitch. He's good looking, thoughtful, and seems keen to see me again this weekend. Obviously, I'm not sure how I feel about him because it's only been one date. Is it a case of I'm from Venus and he's from Mars? I'm hoping your listeners have some advice for me. Depending on said advice, I might go on a second date.
Oh. She's setting herself up there now for us all. You know,
she is,
obviously,
yeah,
you
yeah.
have to go on the second date. yeah, and the roasting thing. I feel in this problem that her focus is kind of not on the person sitting opposite her eating the steak and drinking red wine, but in the rearview mirror at her family and her brothers and all of her her past heritage, judging her for who she ended up with. Because, you know, God forbid he's from Soko Do or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
And you did a good attempt at the accent there.
I did.
Now,
Sean. I thought it wasn't great. I kind of abandoned it halfway through.
I can't do it either because I'm a Northsider. But, Ross O'Carroll Kelly kind of does that kind of stereotype. And I think that the thing here is that what this person has to do is to try to separate the stereotype away from the idea of actual compatibility, because obviously it's only been one date and obviously it is a bit of a culture shock. She's meeting somebody who, you know, whose pals hang out and have red wine and steak. Is that a thing? Is that like, what is that?
Do they cook
the meat together and kind of...
I thought, like, the Range Rover thing is totally Southside, but like the steaks and wine, that's... I wouldn't have thought that was that. Kind of.
It just depends on how it's presented, really. I think, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you're 15 and you're meeting for some red wine and steaks, it's a bit, you know.
Yeah, that's or you more. Have the staff cook the red wine.
Finishing the rugby and going home to cook the steaks for the boys.
Somebody's already texted in to say, I think he's going to recognise himself if listening. No, I think tens of thousands of people in South Dublin might recognise themselves if listening. Could be any one of them.
True.
Yeah, everyone's a mirror, aren't they? And it's kind of this thing of like, you know, what is it that this woman is seeing when she sees this guy? She's seeing the kind of a stereotype of what she's not used to, because it's not the same. It's not, you know, the GAA lads from back home, and it's not her brothers who are going to roast this guy. And look, they probably would anyway, because that's kind of the nature of it is that no matter who you bring home, on some level, your family are going to go, that's not us.
Yeah.
So they're going to find the flaw and they're going to take... And most relationships... sail through that anyway. You know, you get a bit of ribbon from the in-laws and they kind of mock you for, you know, whatever your differences are. For me, it's because I'm from the north side or whatever it is. I'm gay. And from you know, this scenario, just because he has a Range Rover and he's into red wine doesn't mean that your mum and dad are going to find some way for, you know, to connect.
Yeah, but he doesn't like GAA. Somebody says to him, you know, this girl has frontage, he's going to think that's a reference to her boobs.
Yeah. He so will.
So, there's almost a language difference on here.
Yeah, you know, but people have had international relationships before that have worked where people, you know. At the end of the day, your relationship first has to work on a one-to-one basis,
sure.
And then you bring it home. Isn't that, you know?
It's so funny. I'm from the country as well. I'm from Waterford, but I've lived in Dublin for many, many years. And I totally understand that feeling of but what would the lads at home think? Because there's that small town syndrome still in your head, no matter how far away you leave that town behind. But what I will say, and what I relate to this person messaging in, is that I met, I'm even nervous to say it on the air, an Englishman,
okay,
a couple of years ago. And I remember genuinely thinking, oh, he's going to get such a hard time. He's going to get such a slagging. And he does. We can't go to the pub together without going, oh, what are you doing here? Blah, blah. And I find myself starting every conversation with someone new going, but his mother's from Castletown Bear. He did a cool camp once when he was six in Castletown Bear. And there's absolutely not a bother. Of course there's not. I do think this girl is somewhat in her own head. And if they are from an agricultural background, a hitch on the back of that Range Rover would definitely be put to good use. Yeah. And I can almost see the love story of him going around with his wellies. And another thing to mention about my own partner, he watched his first ever hurling match 2 years ago, and it was that epic match where I can't remember who they were playing, but it was Cork versus, I think it was a Munster final or whatever, but it went to penalties. And you know yourself how rare that is in a hurling match. And I'll never forget, I'm sitting in the pub just, you know, so stressed and feeling that feeling of watching live hurling
loving
for the first
it.
time, loving it, back in Cork obviously, and all of a sudden shouting around the pub in his English accent, someone tell me what a 65 is, what is it,
what's going on.
So no doubt he could very much get on board with your ways of living as you would his too.
Yeah, but he doesn't, you see, but you're your partner moved here and so kind of has to absorb the local culture, whereas
this guy
doesn't have to. South Dublin's just up the road.
Yeah, and there is that also, there's just that mentality sometimes that, you know, Ireland doesn't exist outside, or anything outside of the M50 is the country, and some people aren't into that. But you might surprise you as well. He might might be dropping those stakes for...
Well, it might be his fetish now to meet a nice farmer's daughter, like, you know...
It might be a thing. Yeah.
Like, you know, the judgment and the kind of stereotyping, you know, is a two-way street. And you're either going to overcome it or it's going to be like slag central and, you know, mockery central, I mean.
Yeah, the votes at the moment are, Brian says, make a second date and bring him home to be roasted on the farm. That'll really show what type of person he is.
Yeah.
You can tell that fella didn't go to a school beginning with Kalashta, which was a comment somebody made a couple of weeks ago. That girl should run a mile. She will always feel inferior or like she has to prove herself. Because when she goes to meet...
His crew.
What's that going to be? You're going to say, where did you go to school?
Yeah, I know. That's the first question.
And she'll say, Mary's in Mullingar or wherever. Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't think he's at school.
You know what I'm saying,
though? I mean, like, you know... The reality of it is that South County Dublin is a broad sweep of places, and some people are loaded and some people are not. And all those people have to mix because they go to the same Aldi, Tesco or, you know, Kalashta or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And in the end of the day, you know, you're either going to only want to be with your kind of, you know, this guy is actually showing that he's willing to meet a farmer's
somebody
daughter.
From the boonies.
I think the bona fides in the situation and you know, make your shot, girl. That's what I'm saying. This could be you driving around in a Range Rover now for the rest of your days.
Exactly, with the wellies down the back. I think at the very least, a second date. Yeah. You've got to suss them out.
Yeah. Right, sure. Okay. But do they have the second date in a neutral location? No meeting each other's friends or family yet?
Oh, I'd go sim. Oh, God, no.
No steak, no red wine.
One-on-one for now.
Yeah. They go to Supermax for the second date.
And then they get, they get some funeral sambos.
Just to give them a taste. Speaking of, I've been dating my current squeeze for about 2 months. We get on great and have even done our first mini break together. However, there's one thing I continue to struggle with. He's a disgustingly noisy eater. I initially noticed it on our fifth or sixth date when we went for dinner, and it's only gotten worse since. As he grows more comfortable with me, at his most tolerable, it is a sort of purring sound as he audibly enjoys his food so much. Oh yeah, I know. People go, at its worst, it's a sort of quasi-sexual moan that reminds me of the original Alien movie. Don't get me wrong, he's a big lad and loves his dinners. On occasion, I've eavesdropped on him eating by himself, and it's honestly rather grotesque. If you couldn't see what he was doing, you would presume he was engaged in some sort of sexual act. I have mentioned it to him multiple times, and he just laughs it off. The trouble is this, I'm terrified to bring him home to my family because I just know they will snigger, and my mum will think he's an oaf. Even when I get him, that's good old fashioned word, oaf. Even when I get him to keep his mouth closed as he chews, it's still so noticeable, and his jaw clicks every time he chows down. How do I get him to stop this?
I don't know how you get him to stop this, but I certainly know that it really depends on, you know, how sensual it sounds, because I just know a lot of Irish mammies in general, the satisfaction they get from knowing that someone's enjoying their dinner or enjoying what you've cooked them is like, it's an immediate 5 stars all around from the Irish mammy. Would she cop it in the same way as it being like that kind of weird sexual noise? That's the bit that's bothering me. The purring I can handle. It just means, oh my God, I smashed it. I made a good roasty. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But it's when you get to the point of going, this is a bit uncomfortable. Like,
yeah, it just depends on how is it?
You know, that's what like, I'm
what is the vibe? And it's like, I also do think though that if there's something about somebody that irritates you so soon after meeting them, that's a bit of a red flag to me. That's like if you're already finding fault, then that means the kind of, you know, the honeymoon period or whatever is gone quite quickly, which. I don't know about you, but I think that should be lasting a bit longer.
I agree.
And if there's something that bothers you, even if it bothers you, just, you know, it's completely, in an abstract sense, it's just going to bother you. Well, then you have to also acknowledge that that's also potentially a deal breaker. Because if that's just one of the things that rots you, that means that it's always going
to
rot you.
Because you need to remember as well, this person needs to remember that somebody else could hear him making these really strange noises eating and go, oh my God, that's hilarious. And, you know, take the mic and go, wait till you hear him eating. God, he enjoys his food, this lad. And kind of see it as a little bit of a nuance in him and like it. I remember years ago, and I understand I was single for like 10 years and I fully understand how hard it is to meet people, how like, you know, you can go on all these dates and it takes one that you're like, oh my God, great, we even get on. I don't even know if I fancy him yet, but we get on. Great. Like, it's such a hard battle out there. And I was on date number 3 or 4 with a lovely guy, and I understand that how hypocritical I'm sounding, because we were on our third date having something to eat, and whatever way I kind of opened my mouth to put a fork full of food in my mouth, he put his finger in my mouth.
Oh!
And I was like,
what?
I'm done.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%.
I can't. And I feel like this is the point.
Was
she
trying to do the lady and the Trump kind of the two dogs eating pasta kind of thing?
Maybe it was just a little quirk and he panicked. I don't know. But my point is, it was just such a weird move that it put me off. But I think in this instance, like you said, like I should have been able to overlook that, being like, this guy's lovely. He just, I don't know what that was, but move on. But obviously I didn't fancy him enough. And I don't think this girl fancies this guy enough to overlook it.
Did he explain his actions? The finger in the mouth
stuff?
No,
I just went...
and then did he like dry down his finger afterwards or anything? Or, like, how far in did he get it? Were you gagging?
I just between my teeth almost. Oh, you know?
Wow.
It was very strange quirk, but it certainly was the deal breaker for me. And I think, as I say, someone who was like really, really hoping to meet someone, and I think in this girl's instance as well, if he's a great lad and this is the one thing that you can't look past, it's going to just be, I think you're already mentally checked out.
And also the bit where, you know, she's raised this as an issue and he's just laughing off and kind of a thing. To me, that also, you know, bothers me a little bit, that you're kind of going, well, what way does she phrase her concern? What way is he, like, is he just not taking it seriously because he doesn't think the topic is serious? Or is it just going to be his way that he doesn't absorb any of our suggestions or whatever?
So. It doesn't make him a bad guy at
not for you, guy.
Yeah, exactly.
No, there is an actual condition called misophonia where you're acutely aware of particular sounds, and it happens a lot in relationships that the one party can't stand the way the other one eats
or even breathes sometimes.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why are you breathing like that?
Well, and usually there's a build up of hate over many years behind it. This is a new insertion into that.
But my problem is as well, if you're describing, I feel weird saying the word sexual, but if you're describing them as...
How are you ever going to have sex with this guy?
That's and then, what I'm saying.
What noise does he make then?
You're going to be thinking of the poached eggs when you're trying to have a bit of fun.
Or you could be saying during sex, if you could make that noise when you're eating, that would be fine. You keep your mouth shut now, don't you?
Oh my God, probably.
Silent. Probably does. Not a word out of him.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Just going back to the first question. I'm from a council estate in Tala, very working class. My husband was from Howth. He went to a private school. He sailed in Howth Yacht Club. Talk about worlds apart. I was dreading my family meeting him and meeting his family, but we both had to put our prejudices out of our mind and just get to know each other. It worked out amazingly. A complete cultural education for both of us. And he was the love of my life until he passed away 2 years ago. Tell that girl to go for the second date. He's probably having the same thoughts about dating her being a culchie, but you have to get to know each other. You might still turn out to be a knobhead, but first find out. That's a lot of wisdom in that. Oh. I'm a carpenter from Clondalkin. I married an artist from Williamsburg in Brooklyn. Of course, you know, the hipster center of the universe worked out well 20 years and two kids later. Backgrounds don't matter. On the annoying third comment on this, and I don't, you know, stereotype anyone, but Declan, you may have a view on this. Carl says he's gay. He's doing steaks and red wine with the boys. Time to let him go. Is that a gay thing, steak and red wine? Because you were eating a big steak outside.
Like, I just have a steak with me at all times.
All times, yeah.
And, you know, and a nice bottle of, like...
He carries the rosé in his pocket, of course, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Now, some people like that text are, you know, they're always just looking for the gay in every situation.
Yes. I agree.
So I think maybe the person who texted that in maybe needs to have a little think about themselves.
It's true,
and
pop
to the local butcher's and get yourself a nice...
Well, maybe filler. Every time they have a steak, you know, maybe they're, you know, thinking about something else.
Giving
you
silent Rams vibes now.
I'm 39, single and increasingly lonely. I have a good job, close family, good health, but over the past few years, my social life has quietly disappeared. In my 20s and early 30s, work was very social, lunches, drinks, weddings, parties and constant plans. But since the pandemic, many people work remotely and that sense of connection has faded. At the same time, most of my friends have married and had children, so naturally their priorities and free time have changed. Friday or Saturday night pints are few and far between. There's been no drama or falling out. I just feel like everyone moved into a new stage of life without me. I don't know where people my age go to make genuine new friendships. I feel too young for things aimed at retirees, but too old for the kind of easy socialising that used to happen naturally. How do men in their late 30s actually go about building a new social circle?
I'm not in my late 30s, but I am a man. But I was a gay man, so I don't know whether my advice is going to help out here. One thing I did notice is the use of the word easy friendships. And I think...
No such thing.
A lot of people, a lot of men kind of just wait for these kind of things to just happen. The writer of the letter referred to, oh, when I was younger, it was much easier because that's just the way we did things. Mm. And now... Oh, it looks like I have to make an effort. Well, actually, that's the actual key to it, is that particularly as you get older, your relationships require a bit more of effort because people are more set in their ways, they're more set in their lives. Some people have families, and their work is more difficult. And all these reasons mean that, you know, it actually does take a deliberate effort to kind of to get something to happen in a way that didn't happen when you were living your spontaneous 20s. So I think that's the first thing to consider. The second thing to consider that's really important is that this is not something that's only happening to you, that I think a lot of people are experiencing, you know, loneliness. We talk about a loneliness pandemic, and a lot of people, a lot of men particularly, are feeling isolated because of the way we organize our society. And again, the answer to that, though, is you have to make an effort. That it's this, you know, so I keep saying this, but what does the effort entail and what is the payoff for the effort? That's probably at the nub of the whole thing, because a lot of people want to do that one thing, that quick, easy fix that gives them this amazing group of friends that, you know, suddenly you've got loads of things going on. When in fact, more likely, you have to take the smaller steps with the smaller paybacks as you go along. Finding things to do that you like doing is central to all this, because you don't want to just hang out with anybody. You have to hang out with somebody that has a shared interest in you that you can actually have a conversation with, or do something that you're interested in doing, even if it is just standing side by side while you watch, you know, a sports match or whatever it is. But that's, you have to make the effort to do that, I think, at the end of the day.
I moved to Dublin, so I'm 33 now, but I totally understand that feeling of kind of just feeling quite lonely in a new city. I'm from Dublin, spent most of my life in Waterford. I moved back to Dublin in 2019, and I was so lucky because I moved into a house with two strangers at the time, two girls, and I fell on my feet because they became really good friends of mine. And I know that doesn't always happen, but reflecting back on the 7 or 8 years I've been back in Dublin now, if I didn't have those two girls and them kind of introduced me to their friends and a family friend from when I was young in Dublin, I'd have been really, really caught to meet people. What I will say, and the only way outside of that circle I've made some pals, is I joined a boxing academy. And that's one thing I could really recommend to this guy. And I mentioned earlier that my partner's from England and only moved over a year or so ago. And he joined the same boxing academy, and it's been amazing for him. Just to, like,
they call it a St. Stephen's Day Academy.
Very good.
You like that? That was a good one.
Very good.
Thinking about that already.
But it's just a different kind of workout. It's in a gym setting, in a boxing gym setting, but it's not as like you're off over there on your own doing your own weights routine. Like it's a bit more sociable because, you know, you're holding a bag between you and things like that. And what I've noticed them doing, I'm not saying it's the answer to everything, but just have a look at like the kind of the types of exercisey things that seem a little bit more sociable. Do you know? Like my dad's flat out playing pickleball at the moment in West Waterford. And what I think it does is I've noticed that the Boxing Academy I do this with, they've started doing like Saturday morning runs and coffees for anyone that just fancies getting together on a Saturday, anyone from Dublin or, you know, and I think that's a great way to do it as well. And another thing, over 35s and over 40s, like football and indoor soccer and stuff, isn't that a great way for guys to kind of, and I don't think you have to be the most talented footballer on the pitch or anything, just a bit of a kick around, and it can be a good way maybe for guys to connect in that setting.
Yeah sure.
There's also a website called meetup.com for people in exactly that situation. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. That's interesting.
But it's a brave thing to do though at the same time.
Yeah, well, is it though? Because I think, you know, coincidentally, like I was being interviewed by somebody about the 40th anniversary of the George Bar this week. I was talking about the first time I ever went into a gay bar, and it was by myself because I didn't have any gay friends. So I had to make that kind of move. And even though I didn't know what I was looking for or what it was, except it was kind of like-minded people, as the old personal lads used to say. And that bravery is self-motivated. So, you know yourself, you're either going to do it or you don't. It's like a lot of things in life. You know, if you don't make the effort to do that little step, and it mightn't turn out exactly, you know, in like I said earlier on, like it's not going to be, you'll end up walking out with a whole brilliant set of new friends. But each little step gives you a payback of going, well, I did that and it wasn't so bad. And, you know, whatever it is, well, whether it's going to like the five-a-side football, like you suggest, or whether it's, if you're not into sports, maybe there's quiz nights or some arts group or whatever it is, you're going to find something that, just think about what kind of person you are and what kind of people you want to meet, and then you have to make the effort.
You have to make the effort. And you have to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it's not nice.
It's kind of grim and hard. But it is definitely worth it. That's what my little rant about the George was. In the end of the day, it's worth it if you just make that little effort.
Join the local church choir or musical society. You don't have to be religious or a great singer. Okay. He could ask his old married friends to introduce him to his wife's friends. I don't know what his wife's friends' husbands would feel about that, but it's an interesting solution. I'm a bogger from the west of Ireland. I'm married to a fashion designer from Milan.
Wow, go on.
At times I feel she did it to rebel against her parents. But look, and he leaves it at that. We don't know what look means. You know, I got a fashion designer, but sure, who cares what her reasons were? My wife and I moved into our new home about 3 months ago. It's our first home, which we own together, and she's understandably very excited about making it her own. We are due to host our first dinner party for friends in 10 days' time, but my wife has completely taken over in terms of the organisation. I was hoping to have a very chilled vibes with pizza on the kitchen island, hopefully cocktails on the newly laid patio. There is also a match on that night, so I'm keen to have the TV on a bit in the background. My wife wants a formal sit-down dinner in the freshly wallpapered dining area. She's even mentioned place names and wants to buy linen napkins. I feel like she is trying to put on a show. That isn't very us. Our ideas of what a dinner party should be about seem so divergent that it's now caused multiple arguments, all for something which is supposed to be a fun and chilled night. How do I get her to chill out and relax and stop trying to be Hyacinth Bouquet? Wow, how do I get my wife to be the way I want her to be?
I think to me, this strikes me as a couple who have worked their backsides off. This woman who's put it all in and has finally got themselves on the property ladder. First property, so proud of themselves, totally in her own world, totally distracted by what it means to have a dinner party. Has definitely watched way too much Sex and the City in her time. And probably at the moment, her head is just a little bit in the clouds. If you're together and you're married and your normal vibe is a little bit more chilled, that'll definitely come back around. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She might try the dinner party this way to show off the house and look at the wallpaper and look what we've done and I'm so happy, and then realise this isn't the best crack at all. So if I were you, I'd say let her have it, do it again over the summer your way and rate the crack. Say, I think the crack was a bit better my way. Would you agree? But I do think this is her head's absolutely in the clouds. It's probably not reflective of her character. She's being a bit more maybe bougie than usual because she's proud.
Yeah, I think that's really what it's about. I mean, this situation requires recognizing that she's not just planning like dinner. She's kind of celebrating
the achievement,
the effort in the house and the house. And so she wants to put the house in its best possible light. So she's going all kind of Bridgerton on the, on the whole thing and giving it kind of a little bit, you know, overly formalized. So maybe, like, you know, maybe there's a way you can get both what you want, where you can kind of say, well, let's just, the beginning of the evening could be the sit down dinner where it's a little bit more formal.
Yeah.
But then let's chill out and relax. Yeah.
And I think the way you say it to her is, look, they'll have seen the beautiful decor in the dining room, but the patio.
Look at the patio.
I have that thing power washed down to
his
a tea.
His size, he says it's their first dinner party. They may have never had a conversation. They've never had one before. They've never had a conversation of what they envisage a dinner party is like.
Okay.
And they've two completely different conflicting visions.
Visions of it. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but I mean, but a dinner party depends on how many people you're having, and it depends on how comfortable it would be for your guests to sit down and have dinner in the formalized set. And if it's not, if you've got too many people, that's not going to be comfortable. If it's too few people.
Yeah.
If it's too few people doing this kind of chill mixer thing, just feels like you've got a few mates around for videos.
Also depends who does the work. Unless your man's version of events is people are sitting around drinking cocktails waiting for the guy from Apache to turn up with their dinner, then she'll be making the pizza anyway.
Well, that's true. But I think as well, the way he kind of said there, it just doesn't feel very us. It feels like it's a bit out of character for what she normally kind of puts on. I don't know about you guys, but certainly like a formal eight people sitting and looking at each other dinner when you haven't even had your first glass of wine makes me really uncomfortable.
But if you're if you're all friends though, and you know each other, come in and have a glass of wine, sit down.
Eight people sit down, do shots first, obviously, and then and then goes like a dream. It sounds like the wife will be doing the work, says another texter. Just going back to the fella who is feeling a bit lonely. That person whose friends have moved on in life needs to get a grip. Make an effort with your friends. In due course, their kids will grow up. They will get divorced, etc. And then they'll be back out on Friday night. So that's a good upbeat end to that.
I love it.
So Emma and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.